This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. It is fist pump time. This is at 9 o'clock hour. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. He is Peyton Russell. And she is Caitlin. And it is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick Eatman will join us coming up at 9:20. And then, of course, the KMC Masterpiece at 9:40. Sean is out today, out sick. Maybe he'll be back tomorrow. Don't know. But as of now, we're just going to finish out the show without him today.
Yeah. He's going to have to, he's going to have to, you know, spend some time recovering from last night. Very, very upset about Vandy.
Yes, like he is. Vandy being left out of the college football playoff. SMU showing up right at the doorstep at number 13. Great job by Rhett Lashley and company. A&M at 14. And yeah. Texas at number 5.
Yeah, it's disappointing for Sean. So he needed the day after those results came in, and you know, he needed some recovery. So we'll see if he's back here tomorrow, or if this is just a 2-day recovery for him. But I'm sure he's actually bummed out he didn't get to be here for post NFL trade deadline talk, you know, CFP talk. I mean, whatever else we could have been talking about, I'm sure he would have
waited. Anything else going on last night?
So,
all right. So, the Rangers have a new skipper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, they potentially have a new skipper.
Right, no, they do. They do.
Yes, they do.
It's a tease, Bobby. It's a tease.
Yes, yes, yes.
But anyway, they do have this, and this is the contract projections of all of the free agents, the top 50 free agents in Major League Baseball. And the Rangers do have 4 guys that are going to be on this list of the top 50.
Mm-hmm.
And what might they get? And I want you to just give me a yes or no on this one. Or you can give me, you know, dive into it a little bit more as well.
I got you.
Nathan Eovaldi. Opening day roster age of 35 in 2025. The projected contract is 2 years, $45 million.
It's not the look. If that money, devoting that money, prevents you from committing to a potential top 2 starter, then probably no. But as long as you're telling me there's still flexibility behind it, sure. $23 million seems fine. 22.5, $23 million. That seems fine to go that route. So I guess I'll say yes, I would pay that. How about
I
you?
I absolutely would pay that. Because, I mean, he was on the hook for $20 million anyway. This would be 22 and a half. Absolutely. I mean, he is a legitimate frontline starter.
Yeah.
In the postseason. Legitimate.
I mean, even so, if you get, what, he's at the last 2 years, his field and independent pitching is, what, 3.8? Like, I'll take that. Those are good peripherals. I'd take it.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think that he's, like, this is exactly the kind of guy that I want on my roster. He has shown He's ranked in the top 40 in both pitcher WAR and innings pitched over the last 2 years. Reliable into his 30s, and better postseason numbers than regular season numbers. So I am all in. Andrew Heaney, opening day age of 33. The projected contract is 3 years, $28 million, so $9 a year.
No. The Andrew Heaney experience is just, it's too much of a roller coaster for me. I know he pitched really well at times last year. He wasn't getting any run support at times, but no. Yeah, I need more consistency for $9 million.
I need more consistency. I'll tell you this. You're not going to be able to find somebody who's going to eat as many innings as he does for $9 million most years, right?
Yeah.
Isn't like a fifth starter still getting way over 10?
Yeah.
If they're a free agent.
A lot of times. But I mean, like for this team, with all the questions they've had about their finances and stuff, I don't want to commit $9 million.
I don't necessarily either. You got to find ways to make that money up somewhere. I think it's a good spot to do it. Put a kid up there. Let them go. But he does eat up innings, and that's big for your bullpen. But I'm with you. It's a tough decision you're going to make. I would say no to Andrew Heaney. Kirby Yates, he'll be 38 years old on opening day.
Woo!
The projected contract is 2 years, $24 million, 12 a year.
Man, he was really good for most of the year. The problem is that's such an outlier in terms of some of the stuff he did peripherally.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to say no. Not at that age.
It'd be you would triple his salary. He only made $4 million this year.
Worth every bit of it.
Yes. And you know, look, if you're not going to be a competitor, you don't need a closer. I do think they're going to be a competitor. I think this was an outlier year for them, so I would still say no on Kirby Yates. Max Scherzer. He'll be 40. The projected deal is 1 year, $13.5 million.
No. Nope.
No.
Probably no amount of money.
Nope.
He's cooked.
He is cooked.
And I mean, I respect so much of what he's been as a pitcher. Look, I remember there was a time, 2011, when Scherzer was the guy you were praying for in the rotation to come around in a playoff series against Texas. When Texas was in the ALCS, it's like, I'd prefer to face Scherzer over three other guys in that rotation. And the way he just became one of the most dominant and, you know, biggest bulldog competitors as a starting pitcher. And I loved having him here for the brief time whenever he was healthy. But the injuries are starting to pile up. And I think you saw last year, it's cooked.
I agree. They actually do have one more. I miscounted. David Robertson. Now, he'll be 39 on opening day. He played this year for $11.5 million, and that is the exact deal they say for next year, a 1 year, $11.5 million deal. Boy, I'll tell you, he has had a phenomenal career.
Yeah, he's been really good.
If he played any other position, if he was a hitter, you'd be talking about he would have compiled enough numbers to make the Hall of Fame. Like, he is, obviously, as a reliever, you're not, but if you take a guy who's been as good as he has been as a reliever, as a hitter, at 39 years old, they're going to have all the metrics you would need to make the Hall.
Yeah,
counting numbers.
He has been, we talked about fielding independent pitching earlier. He's had like 8 seasons under 3.
He's just so steady.
And I mean, that's going from age 25 up to 39 last year. He's still a good reliever. How much was that again?
11.5. It's high. That's high for a relief pitcher, but if you stink, you can offload him too.
1 year, he's had 1 year under .367 on his fielding and
pitching.
He's great. Yeah, I'll pay it.
I will too. He's one of the few links in the league in the pitching department still linked to Rivera, because that's how he learned to throw that cutter. He learned it from him. It's I love David Robertson.
That's still my favorite interaction I've ever had with a player. Was when he first came up. Like, his first year he was here, and I didn't know anything about him, and I had season tickets in the bleachers, and I was out there at batting practice, and I used to chirp at all the opposing players during batting practice. I was a pain in the ass.
So this is like 09?
Yeah.
2010, something like
09,
that?
09. And he was there, and he was in the outfield, and I was just, you know, barking at him and saying stuff, and I'd said something about him being, he was, for some reason, he had a, he was throwing left-handed in the outfield. Like, he was just goofing around, I guess. But he was new, so I didn't know anything about David Robertson. He was a relatively new pitcher, so I didn't know if he was lefty or righty. And I had made some comment to him about, "You're the most awkward-looking lefty I've ever seen," or something like that. And he turns back and he goes, "I'm not even left-handed, idiot." And then I was like, I guess that's where the ineffective part comes in. You're out here practicing left-handed. I'm the idiot, though. You're the one out here practicing left-handed. And he comes walking over to me, like, makes a beeline. I'm like, oh, crap, he's going to, like, confront me. And then when he gets to the edge of the wall, he tosses a ball up to me. He goes, "That was pretty good." And then he walked off.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about him is I think he's an Alabama fan. He's from Birmingham.
Well, he is Southern.
Yeah,
he is. He is Southern.
But love the high socks. Any player that wears high socks, I'm absolutely in on. So there's your those are some of the projected contracts. And one guy that's on this list as well, not a Ranger, but it's Roki Sasaki, the Japanese pitcher, 23 years old. He's expected to be posted. And all the talk absolutely is that the Dodgers are going to be the ones to go get him. He's 23. Like I said, the projected contract, it just says $5 million, and which is a signing bonus in a minor league deal. But, you know, like that's, I guess, part of the international bonus pool money. So it's not the same as it used to be where you just post somebody and here's $50 million up front, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's a guy to get. I would love to get him. I mean, everything I've seen is, I mean, he looks.
They've done homework on him. I mean, yeah. Chris Young went overseas and watched him. And I mean, they've done work. So, but I mean, they obviously are financially a little, they've had their financial questions that they've had to work
through. Would he choose to go there?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
As opposed to the Dodgers or, you know, just pick a team.
Yeah, what are the Dodgers going to do? They're going to add Soto. They're going to sign this guy. It's going to be, they'll just continue to load up. The rich get richer.
Talking about Willy Adames. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. At some point, don't you get bored, like, being that good? Don't you just say, like, let's challenge ourselves a little bit. Let's not just sign everybody.
Yep. Hey, speaking of the Dodgers, Peyton, this is Joe Kelly. Now, Joe Kelly is, I mean, Joe is a world-class trash talker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big dump button risk every time he goes on with KNC.
Absolutely. But he is a world-class trash talker. I love the kissy face that he threw at, was it at George Springer or Correa? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But so he says he was like letting it go. He was talking trash about the Yankees, and when you beat him a team in five games, you can talk all the smoke you want, and he did on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
We were saying every single game, just let them throw the ball to the infield. They can't make a play. I mean, you saw Shohei got an extra base going to third on sloppy Gleyber play. It's well known. We all knew. I mean, we're the Dodgers. We know every little detail. But past that, it was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins. You know what I mean? But I mean, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football. I mean, like it was just a mismatch from the get go. Like, we had a playoff re-ranking. Like, they might be ranked eighth or ninth best playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, you're putting the Padres ahead of them. You're putting the Phillies ahead of them. You're putting the Mets ahead of them. You're putting the Braves ahead of them, and the Braves just got unlucky because they had to play that doubleheader. You're putting, I mean, the Guardians played like crap, but the Guardians played better baseball around. Like, it was just a complete mismatch, and it's kind of the same feeling from 2018 when we had to go play the Dodgers. Like, the Red Sox were just the way better team. So all we knew is that we just had to play regular Dodger baseball. We didn't have to play out of our butts. We didn't have to do anything crazy, and we're going to win the World Series. It's facts. Like, just look at the team. Look at the talent. Re-rank the teams, and they're ranked eighth.
Did he say we didn't have to play out of our butts?
Yeah.
He is a trash talker.
He is, man. He is an epic trash talker. And, like, he's right about the fact that, you know, like, that team just makes mistakes. Like, they're not
We didn't have to play out of our butts.
They're not a great defensive team by any stretch. Surely they believe in defense. I'm sure they believe in it, but they just didn't play very well. And it was still a very entertaining, competitive five game series. That was the fun part about it. What is this manager in waiting?
Boy, the Rangers appear to have the Bruce Bochy replacement. That's according to Jim Bowden. Jim Bowden had tweeted yesterday when this news came out. The Rangers made a hire yesterday. They hired Skip Schumacher, the former Marlins manager. He was hired as a senior advisor to the president of baseball operations, Chris Young. It's like, all right, well, there's a front office guy. Why is that a big deal? Well, Skip was one of the most sought after or most attractive managerial candidates that was out there after he had stepped down from the Marlins this past season. NL Manager of the Year in 2023. And this hire, according to Jim Bowden, is this is the heir apparent. He's going to sit there as a basically they've got him reserved, held down in the building, and that he'll be working with Chris Young. But that the thought is that when Bruce Bochy eventually retires, whenever that day comes, mm-hmm. that this is your next manager of the Texas Rangers. And if we know anything, Chop,
yeah,
it's that the Miami Marlins are really good at identifying a good manager.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And then letting them walk out of the door pretty quickly.
Are they?
Joe Girardi, Freddy Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah. Freddy Gonzalez. Forgot about Freddy.
Joe, Freddy. They let NL managers of the year. Yeah, they just let him walk out the building after a year or two. And so this may be the next one, but 44 years old, young guy, got his very first start. Former player, got his first at bat. Pinch hitting for Chris Carpenter, striking out against David Wells. But has been a really highly sought after manager and somebody who, like I said, won NL Manager of the Year in 2023 and is apparently the next in line to take over for the Rangers, according to Jim Bowden, as soon as Bruce Bochy retires.
I'm out.
Why?
He's a good looking guy. I can't.
Like, good looking guy with a half sleeve.
He's too good looking. He's a good looking guy. Sarah's going to want to watch all these games for untoward reasons.
Gosh, could you imagine if Troy Aikman was calling a game that he was managing?
I have no chance.
And what's his name? Parker McCollum singing the anthem for that game?
Oh, my God. And now listen to Parker McCollum. I'm attracted to Parker.
Get a mop and a bucket.
Holy cow. My goodness. Yeah, no, Skip. I like Skip. I thought he was a good manager. Miami was a dreadful place to be the manager.
No organization sabotages their right. staff more than the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, they did a terrible job with what they did with Kim Ng. I had a huge problem with that. She made the playoffs. She was really good at her job. So screw Miami. Like I'm happy for Skip, and he'll be good when he gets his next gig. He will be good. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com reacts to. His Arkansas Razorbacks not being in the playoff ranking. Yeah, we knew that. But also to the trade deadline. It's all coming up next year, 105 through the Fan. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. The KNC Masterpiece Crosstalk coming up at 9:40. They got in. They dragged themselves in a little bit late today. A little late night for us all. But we are now joined by Nick Eatman at DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino that Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, I know you were up last night worrying about the results. I know it probably didn't go the way you had hoped for, but what did you think of Arkansas not making the college football top 25?
A little bit more surprised by the election than that one. But yeah, you know, if I did look at it and go, wow, if Arkansas had beaten Ole Miss, they probably would have been there. But you can't say if when you lose like 63-30 or something like that. So I think Lane Kiffin is still like going for two and scoring touchdowns on them.
I disagree. I don't think you can't say if. It feels like the Cowboys have been saying if all year, Nick. Like, well, you know what? If we had five extra minutes, we would have come back against Baltimore. Yeah. We would have come back against San Francisco. So I think if is completely
fair.
Did
anyone say that, Bobby? Has anyone said if there were five
not,
more minutes?
Not if, not really. I'm being facetious.
Derrick Henry would have scored again, okay? Like when they really wanted to score, they would have. Like that's what I took from that game. Atlanta, you know, kind of the same way, I guess. I think the Atlanta game, you could say maybe like if they little bit more time on the clock or whatever, and didn't have the onside kick, would have gotten interesting. But I mean, they didn't do enough to win the game. I mean, we know that they weren't better on offense, defense, mm-hmm. or special teams, so usually you don't win those games like that.
What did you think about the trade for Jonathan Mingo, and what does that mean, do you think, from the Cowboys' perspective in terms of this year and into the future?
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. Like, it was just it's a move. I think, you know, it's getting criticized a lot, and I think it's more than because of the timing. I don't think it's a bad move just in general. And Stephen Jones says it all the time about 365 days to, you know, years when you acquire players and all that. I just think it just piggybacked on what Jerry said and what maybe everyone's hopes of they were going to get someone to really come in and help this year. Overall, I don't hate the concept of the move. Getting a player that is young and has got skills that they liked, that they thought, you know, had second round talent or whatever it is, and getting them young and, you know, knowing that next year you're going to have to address the position in the draft. And you know, I think this is their way of saying we're going to get a head start on it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. He hasn't done anything yet. You know, he hasn't done anything with you know, Carolina. Who would, you know, in that situation? So I think that's kind of, yeah, I think it's fine. I was looking at his stats. I mean, at his highlights from Ole Miss. That's all I have to go off of right now. And just to see what they liked then. And it's like, okay, you know, I see it. But, I mean, he's got to develop for sure.
You know, if they were to have sold, what route do you think they would have taken? Like, a lot of little pieces, obviously?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I thought we just said if. I thought we weren't dealing with that.
If ifs and if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Right.
I'll never forget Dennis Scott, former Maverick, you know, and Orlando Magic point guard. He said, "If if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk." So that's what I like. You know, I don't know.
Philosophically.
But where?
Right.
I just don't know who would want. I mean, you're talking about big players here because the role players are the ones. I mean, they're not playing well either. So we're talking about the big guns, right? Micah and those guys, those trades. I mean, I just don't see who else on the team that you would be like has a ton of value. You know, I maybe a Brandon Cooks or something like that if he was healthy. I don't know. I don't know where they would have gone. I mean, and maybe they looked into that. But, you know, I think we all thought it was going to be, hey, we're going for it this year. And that's what Jerry said. You know, we're going for it. This wasn't really a go-for-it move. This was like a let's get a head start on next year. And you know, he's impressive. You know, he's an impressive-looking player. Don't know what happened in Carolina. But you know, I think it'll – I think he'd be a guy that, you know, he needs to develop. Just like just think about where we thought of Tolbert after his first 2 years, and then, you know, where he kind of is now. I don't think he's the answer necessarily at number two. I think he's a good, solid player. And maybe Mingo can kind of make that jump too.
Do you think this year is more of a blip or more of the start of a kind of a downward turn?
Well, I think it...
Because I guess that would play into the philosophy.
Yeah,
stuff, right?
I mean, I think you could argue both ways because you could say blip because of all of the injuries. I mean, the injuries are just catastrophic because you could tell in the off season their depth was you know, they lost their depth. They lost a lot of their depth and they were relying on young players. Some of those young players got hurt. Some of those young players haven't developed. And then your big guns, especially on defense, have all been hurt. And so that it's just a really terrible time for them to try to dip into their depth because it got lost. So you could say that, but you could also say this is the start of that because the start of a downward trend because they went this route. And so far, it hasn't panned out. Like, you know, relying on there was 10 to 15 young players that they were like, this is their year. Maybe that was a little, maybe it's more like 8 to 10 players. And those guys really haven't developed yet. You know, one of them, I would say, would in that group, like they really need this guy, Overshown. He has, and he's going to be good. Some of the others that you were like, okay, this is your year. Jake Ferguson, you know, and he's been good. Tolbert's been okay, but not to that leap that you wanted to see, that Deron Bland leap. We haven't seen that.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com.
We haven't seen Deron Bland.
Yeah, at all. Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joined us here on 105.3. Nick, 2020, when Dak got hurt, everything after that just felt like it fell apart. Like it felt like culture fell apart. You had that big issue of Andy Dalton taking the hit in Washington and the coaching staff kind of having to, you know, talk to the players about, you guys got to stick up for your quarterback more. It just, everything felt messy, and they kind of gathered it together by December and it cleaned some of it up. Do you think that McCarthy and the staff right now, especially where things are at the season, they're having to guard for, we got to make sure that doesn't happen again, that things don't just fall apart psychologically with the quarterback out for the next probably month plus?
Yeah, I think based off the way McCarthy answered the question the other day, I think he dismisses 2020 altogether. Just how unique and it was and different for everything, that the challenges that COVID brought. And so I think, you know, I don't think they look at it the way you're looking at it. Like we, it can't be that again, but I think you can't blame it all on COVID either. It was, you know, it was a young team that didn't have a lot of, they didn't have a lot of leadership there at all. Dalton was here, but I'm trying to think, like, the offensive line, I think, was that the year that it was just, I mean, this is pretty bad too, but like, I think they shuffled it like 12 to 15 times or something like that.
That was the year Lyle was out for the whole season. Tyron got shut down after week two. It was,
yeah. Steele was a rookie and he was playing all over the place. And, you know, I get it. He's not playing that great right now either. I mean, he's a guy that I think we all kind of thought would be playing a little bit better. That's the problem about this O-line is that, you know, the guys that you really are like, okay, they're going to have issues at center and left tackle, and they're going to have to deal with that. At least they've got Zach. At least they've got Steele, who's healthy again, and Tyler Smith looks to be great. He'll help both sides. And they've all had their issues of struggling. And I think when all of the offensive linemen have a little issue here and there, that the whole line has a major issue, and that's why they can't run, can't block, can't keep the quarterback, you know, upright and all that. So, I don't know if I answered your question. I don't know they see it the same way, but I do think that you know, they are going to have to figure out, somebody's going to have to piece this thing together. And I think Cooper Rush, as weird as it is to say, I think he's a better fit than what they had with Andy Dalton. And I know that Dalton's way more accomplished, but maybe I'm wrong in thinking that. But I just think the whole situation, I think Cooper can step in maybe better than Andy did.
Nick, when you look at where Detroit game a couple weeks ago, we all were like, Dan Campbell's coming in here to call petty plays, and he wants revenge, and they're out for blood. Does that factor exist at all, do you think, this weekend for Kellen Moore coming in here?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, I don't think he's the same. He's never, I don't think, bitten a kneecap. I don't think he's the same as Dan Campbell like that. But, sure, I mean, I think he, you know, if he has that in him, you know, Lean, if he's got that, I mean, he's always been smiling and had that kind of same look on his face. Now, his head coach does, you know, and I think he's got that. I think he walks around with that kind of personality or whatever. It's Eagles and Dallas, and then, you know, the next – well, first of all, nobody is going to feel sorry for the Cowboys. But when you think about the next three opponents here, I mean, Philadelphia with Kellen Moore and Sirianni, they're going to want to pile it on. Houston, come on. I mean, their whole city is jealous of the Cowboys in Dallas. And so, and then you've got Washington of Dan Quinn and their 17 former Cowboys over there that they're going to, you know, so the Cowboys better, I mean, they're going to be dealing with this for the next month, you know, if not the rest of the year.
Thank you, Nicholas. Talk to you Friday.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino. The Dallas Cowboys, please game responsibly. Crosstalk, the KC masterpiece is coming up next on 105.3 The Fan. Man, I don't know how you guys, I was on the edge of my seat last night the entire time just trying to figure out
if A&M and SMU would make
where
it.
Where A&M was going to land for you, Kevin Hagelin.
Look, they were actually a little bit higher than I thought they would be. And the path is there if you can win out, which I don't necessarily know if I would predict that, but they're better off than I thought.
You really got to run it up in some of these smaller games and
against Auburn.
Create your margins.
Yeah. But SMU's right there. That's pretty neat.
It kind of makes you wonder, though, if the margins are too wide given the amount of games you have left. Like, are there enough points to score?
Right. Oh, yeah. My God. I mean,
do I need to check quarter by quarter, player by player, zoom in on the map?
We
I
have
see
too
what's
many
happening.
Games yeah. in, you know, in the math. It's just a math game now.
I mean, you got to compare it to how other teams performed last year, too. Like,
right.
Like look, how did other teams in the same situation perform? Are you performing ahead of them or are you behind
you
them?
You got to go back and talk.
I told Chop, I was like, we don't have any sports calls to come back with. We should have just been coming back with, like, Jake Tapper calling states last
night. None of them? Have y'all talked much politics this morning?
We've talked about it in a very objective manner, just like what happened.
Okay.
Are you guys...
I don't have a political segment scheduled, but...
Let's ask the schedule maker here. What do we have coming up with the show?
Do we have a president at 10 o'clock?
There, that is a small part of a different
time. We do in Arlington at 10:45. Chris Young has hired Andy Reid and Sean McVay. This is freaking amazing how great he is at getting people to give you the best chance to win.
I think that's what we should talk except about Andrew for the rest Chafin. Of Crosstalk, honestly. Because at 10:20, Kevin said, everybody should move to Finland, is what I'm seeing here.
That'd
be
fun.
If you want to be a Stars fan.
Because he's Finnish.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. It's a little cold. In Finland.
I don't know.
Prefer the warmer temperature, do you?
I do. But I do want to see.
You like seeing the map looking a little more red than blue?
I do like the red spikes when they come because that's the warmer temperature.
Yeah.
But I do want to see the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, that would be neat.
That's what I really want.
Sounds hot.
I got so upset because I could not see it because I know it happened here, what, a month or two ago? I couldn't see it from, and we were right on like the cusp line. Like, I don't.
Do you think that's like the bootleg one or the real one?
That's a bootleg one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the real one. That's definitely the bootleg one. But I did want to see that. I really did.
To your point, Mike, we were just talking about that. The McVay and Andy Reid hires that were made yesterday. Is that, as was suggested by Jim Bowden yesterday, is that your Bruce Bochy manager in waiting?
I think so, but you literally hired the hottest, best, youngest manager in all of baseball, and he decided to take a front office job for, I don't know, a year. The thing is he's so good at managing. He's such a great coach, is that I don't know after this season is over, is if, let's just say Bochy wants to manage one more year. I don't know if he would stick around again for another year because I think that you literally have Sean McVay now just sitting with Chris Young, and Bochy loves it, but But you just hired, you have two of the best managers in all of baseball, one managing your team, one being now somewhat part of the front office and ready to step in if Bochy decides he doesn't want to do it again. And they could flip jobs. You could say after 2025 season, Bochy could be like, I don't want to leave baseball completely. I wasn't crazy about leaving baseball completely. I'll now go in the front office. Skip comes down to be the manager, and you have this unbelievable situation. I can't believe how great Chris Young is at getting the best people to give yourself an opportunity to win.
I think the other thing too, Mike, is like a full year of him getting the opportunity to work with Chris Young and build that relationship, but also have his hands, his fingerprints all over what the team's doing too. He can make those decisions with Chris Young while going, this is going to help me if I take the job over. Like he'll have a better, he won't be a new manager walking into a situation having to build trust with the whole club because he'll already have it.
Will he? Okay, so like Bochy, if let's say Bochy moves on and decides to do flip roles in 2 years. Is that a role that he could do I think he still has a house in Nashville, right? Like, is that.
Yeah.
Are we talking like an advisor role, or is like Skip going to be here every single day on the team?
No, like
are
you saying when Bochy isn't the manager anymore, if he were part of the front office? No, like John Daniels is part of Tampa Bay's front office, kind of. He lives here.
Right.
So, yeah, you don't have to live in the city when you're a special advisor or, you know what I'm saying? Like Bochy wouldn't be making what you'd be considering major decisions. He's a sounding board for Chris Young to say, hey, I'm thinking about this guy, and Boach can say, yeah, I agree with that, or hey, I'm not crazy about him because of this.
Does manager in waiting, probably not with somebody like Bochy who's got so many skins on the wall, but does manager in waiting ever undermine current manager?
Not at all in this situation. If you have Jerry Jones as the general manager, president, owner, 100%. Like, we know that. We saw Jason Garrett. Yeah. It was not comfortable for Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips didn't like that at all. Wade Phillips didn't want that. Let me ask you this question, Mac. Do you think Chris Young would put Bruce Bochy in that situation? Like, hey, because you only won 78 games, I've hired Skip Shoemaker, and he's going to sit with me, and we're going to go over all the things that you're doing wrong, and then as soon as he can convince me, I'm going to fire you and hire Skip Shoemaker as the next manager. Like, that's not the case here. Everybody's on the same page. This is unbelievable. And I am surprised that Skip took this job. When I did see Corey and Alec text me this, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. And then when you read into it, and I know Chris Young personally, I know Skip personally too. We played together on Team USA.
Well,
I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then getting to know Bochy this year well, being in the job that I had, is unbelievable that those three people, and they do have three different personalities, but they all want to work together and they all want to create this great organization that not only wins, and I know they didn't win this year, and hopefully that changes, but to create an environment, a culture, a winning attitude that they want to just seep in every possible way that changes what the Rangers have been in a way since about 2017, and they did change it. They won the championship, but this year they lost again. And so Chris Young isn't just going all in by doing absolutely nothing. He does have a limited budget to work with this offseason, which we'll talk about all offseason.
They want to get under the tax.
100%, and they will be under the tax. 100%, they will be under the tax when the season starts.
Ivaldi back?
I do think so. There's going to be ways they get under the tax and be just fine and have a very competitive team. But I was watching Skip Shoemaker talk with Eric Hosmer and a couple guys this morning for about 45 minutes. I'm not completely done with it. So I haven't really got to be with Skip or know Skip since 06 when we were teammates for a month or so together for Team USA. But I'm telling you, from what I hear about people, I got to go on the trip to Miami. He was the manager of Miami this year. The things people say about him without even knowing he was going to be part of the Rangers organization. And he didn't know that back then either in May. You just hired, I would compare him to Sean McVay. You just hired Sean McVay to just be in the waiting. And it doesn't mean he'll be the next manager. I don't know that, because he might do this for a year, learn more under Bochy, learn more I guess, under Chris Young in front office stuff. And there could be seven teams next year that offer him a five-year, $30 million contract, yeah. And Bochy wants to manage another year. And you're like, well, we're not getting rid of Bochy. Let's just say you won 90 games again.
Right.
You might just lose him. But you did have him in your organization for a year, and that's an unbelievable job. I do feel like, in a way, the Cowboys and the Rangers, we both have them here at the Fan. They are at a 180 with the way they're running their franchises right now. Total ends of the spectrum.
Oh, for sure.
Well, when you talk about he's McVay, so like everybody always talks about Bochy, like one of the big things, like the bullpen management and stuff like that. What's the McVay like? That's the trait that he has that like is so that is it his player development? Is it the way he manages the game? Is it the bullpen? What is it about Skip that makes you feel that way?
I would say he's more aggressive on the bases than Bochy. Like there are differences between him and Bochy on managing a game. He came up in the Cardinal way. Now I can't explain that in 1 minute, the Cardinal way.
Oh, I can. But act like you invented the game.
Okay. Yeah, but he grew up under the Cardinals organization. He's gone around. He knows how to relate to these players. He talked about in this podcast that it is very important for him to know his weaknesses and for people to point out his weaknesses. And he knew one of his weaknesses was he doesn't speak Spanish. This doesn't come up in football at all. Just think about the difficulty of managing a team when half of your team doesn't speak the language you speak, like literally the language. And so he's like, I wanted to make sure that I had a great bench coach with me or a great coach that understood my message, could relate to the Latin players and make sure that my message was there, that he was going to have to speak it. I can't speak this to half of my team because half of my team doesn't understand what I'm saying.
That's a great point.
So he's like, there's certain nuances that you have to put together a staff that has different traits but are all on the same page and can say the message, your message, in a way that it's your message, but set in different ways to make sure that different players understand it. He talks about analytics. He's like, some players don't understand analytics and it's too much for them. You got to understand that and not force it on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just like going through this interview. I was just like, does that explain McVay at all? The way I'm explaining it, like a younger guy who's 44, I believe.
Yes.
Who is like, yeah, I'm closer to the age of these players than Bruce Bochy is. I'm still from another era of playing. The game has changed. I understand that, but I can relate to players. I can be aggressive. And here's the thing. In 2023, you got manager of the year managing a team that, I don't know, had an $80 million player budget.
And they won 80 games.
Yeah, he took
games.
And they made the playoffs. Yeah. So he took a team that was like, hey, we have to work on a small budget here. And you got to figure out how to take these young players or these veteran players that teams didn't really love, and you got to figure out how to win, and he did. And once he figured that out, the ownership said, we're going to take away your general manager, we're going to trade good players that still are under favorable contracts, and that kind of pushed him away from the Miami Marlins.
All right, so a lot of election talk coming up here.
None of that was election talk.
Do you think Mike Elko made a mistake by not going on Rogan? Do you think that would have helped them yesterday?
Yes, it appears as though going on Rogan helps you out for sure.
What time did you go to bed?
1 o'clock.
Corey?
10:45.
Oh, early?
Yeah.
12:20.
Man, I was around 2.
Yeah, I woke back up at 3 and stayed up for another hour.
When they gave them, I can't remember, Pennsylvania, that's when I was like, okay, it's over unless I'm shocked. Like when CNN or Fox News, whichever one went first, I think it was CNN on Pennsylvania, when they declared that he's won Pennsylvania and he got to 267.
Yeah, right. And you knew he was going to take Alaska. Yeah.
It's over. I can go to bed.
Just like how you said, you can tell who somebody voted for by their I voted sticker. I think we can tell who you voted for by what time you said you went to bed last night.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, that is interesting.
That's very interesting. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I think we know who Peyton voted for. I think we know what time he went to bed.
You don't know. You don't know anything. Don't throw me under the bus.
Who knows? Well, no. Who knows? All right. It is the KNC Masterpiece coming up next.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence.
As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.